when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, all you people out there. You've put in the call. You put in the call for the son of a bitch. Well, the son of a bitch is here. They say when it hits the fan, when the crap hits the fan, they call for the son of a bitches. They don't call for the intellectuals. So I hope it didn't insult any of you a little intellectuals' ears out there. But we're here, the son of bitches of the airway. But before we go any further, people, you know, we no matter how wild we get here, we always do what? All you people there that have been here for a while, you know, we always go to the prayer. We always go and we ask for the Lord. We ask him to bless us. So here we go, people. If you don't mind, bow your head. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the whole universe, the God of Eddie Miller, the God of Blood River Radio, Liberty News, Cameron, Mark, the God of all that all of us, we beseech you, Lord. We come to you in prayer. We humbly ask you to overlook our sins, to overlook our transgressions this week. We've already have our sins forgiven by your Son who came here. He came to earth on his own free will. Even though you sent him, he came on his own free will, Lord, and he was suffered in beyond our belief. Any way we cannot imagine how he suffered. He was crucified on the cross by Pontius Pilate. He was killed. He's killed there. He died. They buried him. But on the third day, Lord, he rose again. And anybody, Lord, who believes in him in their heart and confesses with their lips that it's your Son, Jesus Christ, who did die on the cross while we were yet sinners, he died on the cross for our sins, for us, so we might have a way to heaven and it's free. All we have to do is ask. And that's who we say this prayer for. That's what we confess here. We are totally Christians here, Lord. Anyway, Lord, we will please stay with Blood River Radio. Play with me. All my precious guests, this show would be nothing. Everyone knows that because I'm not the sharpest knife in the rack. Without our splendid guest, we would get nowhere. Without you, Lord, the guest would be, it would be useless. So, God, we ask you, like we always do, give us the wisdom and the discernment to know who the enemy is, to name the enemy. Give us the strength to always ride to the sound of the gunfire, to never shirk our duty to fight this enemy with every ounce of our strength, to never accept anything less than victory. Lord, if we die in battle, if we get killed, that's okay, but we're going to do your will. Anyway, Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, people, before I say anything else, we have to name. It's a great pleasure to name our precious donors. And by the way, this show tonight is going to be in honor of our donors. Well, every show is in honor of our donors, but we have some donors tonight. And we're also dedicating this show to one of my all-time heroes, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But listen, this week we have donors, my little sister, Janice. Bless her precious heart. She lives up there in Nashville. Near Nashville with old Rich, one of our brothers in the league, and she sends donations like clockwork. Without people like Janice, there would be no Blood River Radio. Also, Alan, I talk to Alan just about every week. Alan of Florida, staunch supporter. Bless his heart. I hope he's listening tonight. I just love that guy so much. He's like a brother. Without Alan, Alan has been a staunch supporter. And also, as Ken. Of Lynbrook, New York. So we have Yankees that listen to us and support this show. Thank you, people, so much. We're donating this show to you tonight. Dedicating this show to you and Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But thank you so much. God knows, I tell you, but the donors, we would have no show, There would be no Liberty News Radio without donors. There would, then none of this would be possible. If I would just wish we had some more, so we could do more work. Well, people, without further ado, get ready for this right here. Well, I should open every show with this when I'm getting ready to read to you. You've heard me read it before. We're rereading it more because this is what leads to the solutions. And Howie burned in the camps later thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if periods during periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs doors and at every step on the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else they had at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. If we didn't love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened. That's Alexander Solzhenitsyn quote. That's my favorite quote by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He also said when he came to the West, I think it was the last time, when went to speak at Harvard or Princeton, one of those schools, he said that the number one problem of the West, especially the United States, is it just glared, just stood out like a neon sign. I'm paraphrasing, was the lack of courage in Western man, the lack of courage. And that's the solution. The solution, people, is courage. It's pit bull guts. You can't worry about if you're going to get shot or killed or whatever. You have to fight like a damn pit bull to turn this country around. And with that, people, I'm just going to identify a few problems, but we're going to bring on one of my brothers, Mark Tommy. He is the one of the head honchos in the League of the South. I can't remember his exact title, but before I start naming all these problems and all the examples, we'll go to the solution. I'm going to bring Mark on and get Mark introduce himself to you, because he's really not that old. He's only been on a couple of times, so he's still new. A lot of you people probably don't know him. So go ahead, Mark. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing good, Eddie. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show again.
Well, I hope I didn't insult your ears. I know you never cuss or anything.
Well, you know, every once in a while, I have to admit that a venial vulgarity escapes my lips. So,
hey, what's venial mean? But anyway, yeah. Mark is an engineer, and we're going to have him hooked up with another engineer probably next week. The engineering speaking about is Fred Leutcher, and Fred Leutcher is going to have a bombshell show. He's going to expose a Mossad agent, a probable Mossad agent that's in our midst. He's going to name them. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. That's just as a teaser. So anyway, people, we're going to talk about, if I don't get too far fetched, too disorganized. I went over to Arkansas last Thursday and I saw one of our brothers. Bless his heart, he's 93 years old. He's our, everybody knows Mr. Buddy. And we did a radio show. I wish we could have recorded that radio show in the car. But I'm going to go through this real fast, and then I'm going to read some stuff. And then Mark, the engineer, the intellect, he's greater intellect than me. He's going to come back, and he's going to back clean up. So me and Mr. Buddy were talking about you have to name the enemy. Everybody and his mama knows who the enemy is, but very few people will say it. It's the Jew. It's always been the Jew. If you go back to the third chapter of Genesis, and I had the scriptures written down somewhere, the third chapter of Genesis, when it says, when God was telling Satan, the serpent, he said, he shall crush, you shall bruise his heel, and he shall crush your head. He was talking about, they said that's the first messianic scripture in the Bible. It was foretelling Jesus. Well, see, Satan was in the world then. during Genesis. And Rand Owen has talked about this when I gave my talk down there in Pine Level. He corrected me when we were out in the yard. He told me I left that part out, I think. But anyway, if you fast forward to the New Testament, Pontius Pilate, when he was trying to give Jesus a break and keep him from getting crucified, he told the people, the Jews that were wanting to crucify Jesus, he told them, hey, you know, you have this custom. You can release a prisoner every year. This, you know, a murderer, a thief, a rapist, whatever, we'll release him. They said, well, you want to just release Jesus? And they said, no, we want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a bloodthirsty, cutthroat thief, probably a murderer. Well, they crucified Jesus. So that's what they wanted, to crucify Jesus. And they did. They got their way. I'll probably have to finish the rest of this when we come back to Africa, because we're rapidly approaching a break. But if you go from the New Testament, if you go, I'm trying to make this fast, try to give a historical background of where we're going to go tonight. If you go fast forward to, I think it was 1817, the Battle of Waterloo, you know, between, I think Wellington was the general for England, and we had... the Battle of Waterloo.
Napoleon. Bradley.
Napoleon. Yeah, there you go. Napoleon. Well, you see, Amschel Rothschild. Well, here we go. We'll finish this up as soon as we come back, people. I might be trying to cram too much in too fast, but I'm going to try to get it all in. Be right back. Hold on to your seats.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Oh, people, thank you for holding on. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. I'm trying to get so much in tonight. Plus, I'm really psyched up. It's been I had to withdraw from the New York Marathon, and today was the St. Jude Marathon, weekend marathon. I couldn't run that, and I've really been down this week. But I'm coming back. I'm going to run. I'm scheduled to run the Nashville St. Jude Marathon the last weekend of April, and I'm signed up again for New York and then Memphis again. It's Nashville, April, New York, November, Memphis, December. So that's I'll get back my I'll get out of the dumps. But I eat, sleep, and breathe those stinking marathons, man, and being a St. Jude hero. But anyway, going back to where I was, fast forward, Napoleon lost at Waterloo. And get this, these Jews, man, these blood-sucking, money-grubbing Jews, Amschel Rothschild, everybody's heard of the Rothschilds nowadays, but in those days he wasn't that well known. He had an intelligence network better than England or France. He knew he had his intelligence guys to let his agents in Britain know. Amschel was at the Bank of London waiting on the results of the war. And when he found out that Napoleon had lost, he started selling shares to the Bank of England like crazy. Well, everybody knew that Amschel was a genius a well-connected Jew. So they thought that Wellington had lost, that England had lost. So they sold their stock like crazy. So what happens normally when you have a massive sell-off like that, the stock goes to just almost nothing. So he's turned on a dime. And he bought, that's how the Rothschilds bought the Bank of England. Okay, it's always money, 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 money. He doesn't care how many soldiers got killed at the Battle of Waterloo. He could care less. They're just a bunch of stinking goyim. Okay, go to the our war in the South. And we had this Jew. I was surprised. A lady told me today, I was talking to her. She let me know today. In fact, I just found this stuff out. Jefferson Davis. His head of the War Department was a Jew. I have his name written down here somewhere.
Judah
Benjamin. There you go. See, that's why I have these brains on the show. Had Judah Benjamin. He was the Secretary of War when he screwed that up so bad. Jefferson Davis made him the Secretary of State. And I heard this other lady tell me at one time he was the Secretary of the Treasury. I couldn't find that out. But anyway, people, I got to wrap this up quick. Let's go to World War One. Prior to the British were losing bad. The French were losing bad. Pretty much the war was about to be pretty much over. Germany was kicking butt. No one had even set one foot in Germany. Not one soldier had stepped across the Rhine River to Germany. And they were getting ready to, the British government was getting ready to go, deal to with Hitler. Well, it's not with Hitler, we'll see, with the Germans, World War One. When these Jews stepped in, and told Balfour, our Secretary of State. He was the Chief of Foreign Affairs, something like that. This Jew came to Balfour and he said, "Hey, you can't give it up yet. The war is not lost. All we have to do is get the Americans in the war." And so he said, "Well, how are we going to do that?" Well, the Jew said, "You leave it to us. We'll get the Americans in." So. He said, "All you got to do is make sure we have a free hand in Palestine after World War One." So they did. So they got the United States into the war with President Woodrow Wilson. We got us in there, the war to end all wars. The Jews got their mandate away from Britain in Palestine. World War Two. I'm getting to the end, folks. I'm putting like 100 years history into 5 minutes, and I know I'm butchering it, but I'm doing the best I can in the limited amount of time we have. Okay, so after World War One, Hitler came to power. If you think the depression with the United States was bad, that was nothing. That was like happy days here again compared to what was going on in Germany. People were literally starving to death. They were under crushing reparations from the Versailles Treaty. The international bankers were just bleeding Germany dry. Beating them white, and they didn't, 'cause they hated the Germans. They absolutely hated the Germans because they were Christians and they were wise to the Jews. So when Hitler came in 1933, and so saith Mr. Betty, and I believe him because I looked it up and he was right on the money. In 1933, Hitler, what happened was he renounced the Versailles Treaty, the part where Germany was under these crushing reparations payments. They couldn't possibly keep up with them. In efforts to pay them off, that's what they had to print all this funny money, and that's what caused this unbelievable super hyperinflation in Germany. So when he announced that, that we're no longer going to pay these reparations, that's when the Jews came down on him. And listen, people, 6 years before the shooting started, the international Jews, declared war on Germany. Me and Mr. Buddy saw the newspaper clipping. I saw it before Gene Andrews has it, and where it says, the name of the article wasn't International Jews, but it was like the World Jewry, International Jews declare war on Germany. Because why? Same damn thing, money. They kicked the stinking parasitic Jews out. They kicked the bankers out. And because after they did that, in the United States and all these, that's wonderful, United States and all of our wonderful Jew allies in Russia, they came in, and you know about the rest, World War II, they invaded Germany, they defeated Germany. There were 20, Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, so like 66 million Christians killed, white people killed, Russians, Poles, mainly Russians and Ukrainians, perished in the Jewish-run concentration camps run by the Jewish Cheka. Millions and millions and millions died there. And listen, we are still at their mercy. The same people there in World War I, same Jews in World War II, they're the ones giving us all the hell today. They control everything. They control our media. They control our universities. They control this Congress, the Senate. Our congressmen and senators are just nothing but window dressing. They have no power whatsoever. Now, Mr. Mark, you take over from there, fella. Hey, kind of brush it up a little bit, make it smoother.
Wow, you gave me a pretty tough row to hoe there.
Well, I tried to cram in a whole lot. I know I left out a lot.
Yeah, well, just to circle back to one thing, while you were discussing things there, I took an opportunity to look it up real quickly. Judah Benjamin served three different cabinet posts under President Davis. He was Secretary of State, Secretary of War, and the Attorney General.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Those were the three different positions he held. you've covered a lot of ground, and I don't know that there's a whole lot more that I can add. I mean, everything that you have laid out is historically accurate and correct. It's been recognized by Christianity from the beginning that the Jews have been our enemy. You know, every Sunday when I go to Holy Mass, the Mass always concludes with a reading of the first few verses of the Gospel of St. John. And in one of the verses, or a couple of the verses there, was that he came to his own and his own received him not. And so we have recognized from the get-go, again, I think all of Christianity has always recognized that the same people who had our Lord crucified are the same people who are the enemies of Christian civilization today. And they don't really make any bones about it. I've said this many times before, is that if you listen to people like Steven Spielberg or Abe Foxman or any of the other big Jewish media personalities, they openly brag about the fact that they control the movie industry, the television industry, and that they are in charge of international finance. And the only time you get in trouble is if you are a non-Jew who simply happens to restate the very things that they openly brag about. You know, a case in point is Mel Gibson. The Jewish media establishment in Hollywood has done everything possible to destroy that man's life and career over the last 10, 15 years now. And for no other reason that he simply restates the very things that they openly brag about. You know, it's the classic case of, don't do as I say, do as I say. And so it's perfectly okay for them to brag about it and make a big deal of it. But if anybody else happens to point it out, it's a horrible sin called anti-Semitism. Ooh.
That is so true, Mark. And I don't know if you hear the music or not, but we got to go this break. When we come back, we'll go right back to where you left off there. People, hang on with me and Mark Tomey are bringing you Blood River Radio right now, so hold on. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Jennifer Crumbly and James Crumbly on Saturday each pleaded not guilty to four counts of involuntary manslaughter. Jennifer Crumbly appeared to start crying as the judge read charges aloud. Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald deemed the Crumblys a flight risk.
So I'm asking that you set a $500,000 bond for both defendants, cash surety.
The parents were charged after their son, Ethan Crumbly, was accused of shooting and killing four students and injuring seven others at Oxford High School in Michigan earlier this week. Longtime Representative Jerry Nadler, Democrat of New York, says he is definitely running in 2022, trying to tamp down rumors he's considering retirement. Absolutely, Nadler told CNN when asked about the rumors on Friday. Nadler, 74, has been in office since 1992. This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day, man. This is John Jubilee with EnergizedHealth.com. That's right. Write that down after you get off of this ad. EnergizedHealth.com. Because this is your moment to change your life. Intelligent men are skeptical. I want you to be skeptical, but I want you to go check this out today. We have a breakthrough science that is so powerful that hundreds of doctors have changed their life. They recommend it to their patients, physicians to U.S. presidents, leading scientists across the world, because it works. Intercellular hydration pushes all the toxins out of your body. It pushes all inflammation out of your body. Can cause your brain to have double the function, men, double. Your testosterone level could rise 500 points naturally. You can wake up every morning like a teenage boy again and lose 30 to 40 pounds of solid fat every month. Be skeptical, but go check this out today at EnergizedHealth.com. That's EnergizedHealth.com.
On Wednesday, Ursula von der Leyen, the chief of the European Union Commission, told the press that she would like to see the longstanding Nuremberg Code ignored completely in favor of allowing countries to force vaccinate anyone who is refusing to take the experimental jab.
How we can encourage and potentially think about mandatory vaccination within the European Union, this needs discussion. This needs a common approach.
Forcing individuals to take this experimental and potentially dangerous vaccine against their will would be in direct violation of the Nuremberg Code, which was established in 1947 in the wake of Nazi atrocities during the Holocaust. A Montana prison inmate serving a 100-year sentence for killing his wife in 1983 has confessed to strangling, sexually assaulting, and dismembering a 19-year-old Helena woman 15 years earlier, authorities said Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Dear Blood River Radio family, God bless our donors. And like you said, I'd like to mention, I'd like to remind y'all that our donors, this we've dedicated this show to them tonight. And to Alexander Solzhenitsyn. So if you're in pretty good company, or Alexander Solzhenitsyn's in pretty good company with y'all. Mark, we were just talking about, he made two great points. The Jews, they do it every day. They brag in print, on the news, I mean the media, the radio, the TV. They brag openly about how they run this country. I won't read it again, but I've read this, got this statement on my wall where it says what the Jews, this Jewish prime minister said, yeah, we could, don't worry about the United States, we control them. But when a Gentile just quotes them, they're all hell, there's all hell to pay. And Mark also quoted a great scripture, John 1:11, and we were saying about, and one thing the Jews hate is, the next scripture says, even though the Jews rejected him, oh, that was in verse 11. Verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's what me and Mark were talking about. Go ahead, finish that up, Mark, if you would, my brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that that you and I were discussing during the break is, and I know this aggravates you as much as it does me, is this whole idea that's called, quote unquote, Christian Zionism. These poor, confused Christian souls who somehow think that the Jews are still God's chosen people, and that we have to support them and defend them and all this kind of stuff. And as I said during the break, you know, our Lord himself said very plainly and very simply, you are either with me or you are against me. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. You will either be on one side or the other. Now, the Jews have placed themselves on the side that is very openly and stridently and vehemently against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So my question to all the so-called Christian Zionists out there is, how can you explain to me with a straight face and an honest answer how any group of people who so openly places themselves against your Lord and Savior can be his chosen people? If you can explain that to me in a way that makes sense, I might be willing to say you've got something. But the truth of the matter is that there is no way that you can twist that into what you call Christian Zionism and make it believable. It's just absolutely ridiculous, not only on a purely logical level, it's ridiculous on a theological level. And you need to disabuse yourself of this foolish notion before it's too late for you.
So true. You know, I've told some of my Baptist friends, I used to be, I tell people I'm a recovering Baptist, you know, I was real late coming to Christ. I was 2 months before my 62nd birthday before I came to Christ. And I told Brother Wayne Webb, who baptized me, I said, Brother Wayne, I can't be a Baptist anymore. What screwed me up being a Baptist? I screwed up and I read the Bible from cover to cover. And what you're preaching ain't so. Not only is it not so, you know, it's blasphemy. And I said, and I told some of my friends, didn't go over too well, as you can well imagine, Mark. I said, I think you're really on your own thin ice because, you know, I don't know. I can't say who's going to hell or not, but you're worshiping an idol. You're worshiping this sandbox over here in Israel, this little piece of land in Israel that the Jews stole from the Palestinians. You're worshiping a people that would you worship somebody who came in and drug your son out of the house and nailed him to a tree, set him on fire, tortured him, and killed him? Would you worship those people? That's what they did to God's son. I mean, that's what these people did. And yet you say they're the chosen people? And fast forward today, in my notes, we just talked about the Balfour Declaration. And after the Balfour Declaration, after the Jews went into the Palestine, we could do 12 hours on how that came about with the we read this book called the Displacement. I got this around here, but it was written by a Jew, but he put out a lot of good information about how the Germans, Jews, even Hitler helped the Jews get out of Germany, go into Palestine. But they backstabbed Hitler's like they always do. But anyway, they went in, the same chosen people went into Palestine and the ethnic cleanse, genocide of the Palestinian people who've been living there for centuries. The same people after World War II, before World War II, they created the Holodomor, where they starved to death millions of white people, Christian people, in the Ukraine. They starved them to death. 20 million Russians, at least 20 million Russians, the total, like we said, of the Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, of about 66 million were died in the concentration camps from 1917, 1918 through after World War II, run by the Jewish Cheka. The Cheka was 100% Jewish control. They were the secret police that ran the torture, that ran the camps. And also, I'm going to wind this up. Look, fast forward even today, even more modern times. Look at what's happening in Western Europe. They're putting people in prison in Austria that are not going to take the jab. They've got the borders in all the countries in Austria, in Western Europe, open, wide open. They're being run over by these dark invading people from North Africa in the Middle East. Same thing here in the United States. Our Mexican border has been obliterated. We got this LGBT, you know, running these perverted freaks, these Satan worshiping freaks in our school systems, with teaching Black Lives Matter and you know, critical race theory and all that crap. That's all that crap has been brought upon by these chosen people, Mark. You know, the FBI, and I know you people, most of you people probably know this, the FBI is even making trips, visits to schools that have where these parents show up, not wanting BLM taught, not wanting critical race theory taught, not wanting their children to be taught how to have homosexual sex. But that's being brought to you to, by these wonderful stinking Jews. But go ahead, Mark.
No, all of that's, again, you know, all of that's very true. It's pretty bad when you have a situation where parents who simply want to keep their children from being brainwashed and propagandized by racial nonsense and sexual debauchery, that the U.S. federal government labels them domestic terrorists, you know, and sends the FBI to school board meetings to arrest these people. Now, you know, this gets, you mentioned something a moment ago, Eddie, about how if somebody dragged your son out of the house and nailed him to a tree or burned him or killed him, did awful things to you and your family and whatnot, these are the same questions I'm gonna switch gears just a little bit here, but these are the same questions that I ask my fellow Southerners about the United States of America. How can you, if you understand your Southern history correctly, how can you worship the U.S. government when it was those people who sent an army down here a century and a half ago to do the very things you were talking about, to drag your mother, your great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers and their kids out of their houses, to burn their houses down, to destroy their crops, to do all of these horrible things that are documented in all of the contemporary resource material, if you're willing to go search for it rather than take some latter-day so-called historian's word for it. They did all these horrible things to us. We couldn't leave the Union, but then when we wouldn't ratify the 14th Amendment, all of a sudden they kicked us out and put us under 12 years of brutal military rule, you know, where we weren't states anymore. Now, wait a minute. Didn't y'all just say that we couldn't leave the Union, but now because we won't do what you want us to, we're out of the Union? There's Yankee logic at its best for you right there. And, you know, so why, my fellow Southerner, when you see all of the evil and tyranny and debauchery that is being perpetrated by the United States government, why in the name of God, do you continue to want to be loyal to that? Why do you want to salute that flag? Why do you want to say the Pledge of Allegiance to it? Why do you want to stand up for their national song at the football games and put your hand over your heart and shed big old crocodile tears about what a great and wonderful free country you live in when you know it's all a damn lie?
Well said, my brother. Well said, my brother. Amen. Amen. I couldn't say it better. And why would you bitch and moan because people don't, oh, he got us out of Afghanistan, wherever the hell it was. He got us out too early. We should have been over there. You know, what in the hell?
We should have never been there in the first place.
That's right. Why were you over there fighting to make the world safe for Israel?
The U.S. military is made up, about 60% of it is made up of Southerners. Well, here's my challenge to any Southerner out there who's thinking about joining the U.S. military. Don't do it. The only people whose liberty and independence you should be willing to fight and die for are your very own people right here in the South.
We got to go to a break, Mark. Be right back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you never say somebody.
Well, people, this is one exciting show. We just brought in another lady tonight. All of y'all probably have been listening for a year or more. You're familiar with Miss Tamara Goodwin. Me and Mark were talking about before the break how people that worship, I think Mark calls it Americanity, people that still worship the American government, Sodom on the Potomac, these sodomites, these pedophiles, these Satan worshipers, governments. This same government that loves us, especially us Southerners so much, they love our Southern pride, our Southern heritage. What they do is that to show their appreciation for our Southern sons, they send them to prison. And we have another lady on right now. Her name is Miss Tamara Goodwin, and she's going to tell us all about her son. And so go ahead, Miss Tamara Goodwin. Tell us why your son was how the wonderful United States government treated him, because he was just going to exercise his First Amendment right of peaceful redress of grievances under his First Amendment right. Go ahead, Miss Tamara. Tell us all about what happened.
Well, my son stood up for everyone in Charlottesville, Virginia. And before that, a gang of black guys decided they were going to attack some of us even when they were leaving. And black gentlemen ran at my son several times. And because my son kicked him in his backside, they started giving him 10 years at first. And then, you know, now they've got it down to 8. And he's going to be in there. He's almost done. He's got 2 more Christmases, and then he should be out, the Lord willing. And he saved the lady's life while I was there, and he's engaged to her daughter.
Wow. We had her own, Miss Nellie. We had her own. She was there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Tamara. He was, by the way, this is Miss Tamara Goodwin. I probably didn't introduce her enough. Her Tamara Goodwin, her son is Jacob Goodwin. He was arrested in front of, before the fight, like she just said, in front of the infamous parking garage in Charlottesville, Virginia. He was attacked with these thug blacks, and it's just, but the lady she's talking about, Miss Nellie, was an eyewitness to this fight. And Miss Tamara, I believe she was wanted to be maybe a witness to the, witness to the defense, and that the judge would not let her. Am I thinking about somebody else? And the judge said her testimony would be irrelevant. But she saw the fight. She knew that your son and Daniel Borden and others that are in prison forever and ever and ever. Amen. She knew. She was a witness that they did not start the fight. She couldn't go testify to the fact. To support. But am I right or wrong or that? I'm thinking about somebody else, Miss Tamara.
No, he judge didn't want to let nobody there. Nobody. say anything on the behalf. They already had it planned out before my son ever got in there. We knew it. My son knew it. My son's very strong-willed. I don't know how he does it. And, you know, sometimes he calls, he says, Mom, I'm in here with the lowest of the low. But, yes, there was three men beating this lady up, a mother of five, and my son heard her screaming, and he wrapped her in two shields. My son's a big boy. He wrapped her in two shields, and she told me, she said, felt like I was floating. My feet wasn't even hitting the ground, she said. And she sent it to me. I was able to see it, actually see it on video. It wasn't very clear, but I could see him saving her. And she said she couldn't let go of him. She knew that, and he was trying to pry her hands off, he said. He said, Mom, I was trying to pry her hands off because, you know, told her to get to safety. But she was so upset, and how she talks about it, it was amazing. It's just amazing how people are and how people have done.
You know, that same, I'll make one more statement, then I want Mark to ask you any questions he has. You know, she told us on the radio that one of those people, one of those men beating her, I think was like Indian descent, looked like he might have been, you know, one of our wonderful people over here from India, was literally beating this woman. This is a man, a big full-grown man, beating her with nunchucks. And that's where your son came to her rescue. And Ms. Tamara is right. They would not allow Nellie to go testify as a witness for the defense. Go ahead, Mark. You have anything to comment about or any questions for Tamara?
Well, just a couple of quick comments to start with. One is that I commend you on your extremely charitable use of the word gentleman to describe the black thugs that were accosting this woman in the parking garage. And then the other thing is that the fact that your son was prosecuted by the U.S. government for doing what any upstanding, noble Christian gentleman, and I use that term specifically yeah. in this case for in the correct way, for doing what any noble Christian Southern gentleman should do, and that is defend a lady from attack by these criminals. You know, it just goes to show you that there is no justice in the U.S. legal system, because if there were, charges would have never been brought against your son.
Yes.
And instead, the people who attacked this woman that your son stepped in to defend, they would have been the ones on trial because they were the aggressors. They were the ones who were committing assault and battery and even probably attempted murder. Because they were using a deadly martial arts weapon on this woman, but yet they're walking the streets free while your son languishes in jail. And there's yeah. no justice in that at all. And anybody who is going to try to look me in the face and tell me with a straight face that they believe in the U.S. justice system and that we should let it do its job, I say you are the worst kind of fool walking the face of the earth right now.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. And you know what, Ms. Tamara and Mark, this further proof just how much the so-called American government, that's going to salute that flag, how much they hate Southerners and how much they hate our Southern heritage and how much they hate Christians, because he was there. Ms. Tamara's son was there to defend his Southern heritage, to try to defend a saint of the South, Robert E. Lee's reputation. And he came to the aid of that lady. And, you know, and by the Virginia's own law, if you hit somebody above the shoulder with any kind of a weapon, it's considered a felony in the state of Virginia. That's what Ike Baker told us before we went into Charlottesville. He told us you can't use a club. If you hit somebody above the shoulder, you know, it's on you. It's a felony. But back to you, Ms. Tamara.
You know, they basically accused my son of trying to commit murder because he kicked this gentleman in the side and in his butt cheek. And they are saying he had to attempt murder. That's what my son is basically charged for. Can you believe it? Now, and you know what? When he went to the emergency room, Harris did not complain underneath his arm to his toes to his feet. He didn't complain. He complained up. Well, my son kicked him in the backside, and he got the most. And the guy who really done the damage, he's living his stuff a good old time, and he never spent a day that I know of in jail. And he's the one that split his head open.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. The guy, okay, and Harris was their star witness. So against Mr. Cruz, who that's who they hit in the head, well, that's their star witness. So they, and then that was a witness against Jacob. So, you know, they couldn't do anything to him, you know. So it was just vile. The whole thing was vile. And one of the jurors went to sleep. The black lady, she went to sleep because she worked all night. I understand she was tired. She worked all night. But my son's life was at stake here. She should have told the judge, Judge, I worked all night. This ain't, I can't give a fair thing. But, you know, she didn't care because one of her friends was in the car that Fields hit. She was in the car, one of the cars, the lady, the juror, her friend was in the, one of the cars that Fields hit.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. And when they went to the back, she told the judge, Jacob was standing there with his lawyer. The lawyer tried to say something, and they said, oh, no, it doesn't matter. But when they were doing, we were in there when they were picking some of the jurors, and he said, if any of you, I find out, had something to do with any of this, we got to start over. Well, he didn't help, didn't do anything, didn't have to stay to his word. So that's what you're fooling with, you know.
It depends on which side the person happened to be having anything to do with. You know, if they were on the side of the Antifa's and the BLM people and everything, oh, you can sit on the jury. But otherwise, you're persona non grata. So here again, you know, it just shows that the pursuit of justice has nothing to do with these proceedings that they conduct in these courthouses anymore. Your son was the victim of what they used to call a show trial in the old Soviet Union. It was a way to parade an enemy of the state in front of the public on national TV and convict him of something that he didn't do, simply to put the scare into everybody else.
That's exactly right. But you know what? We tried to find attorney for this in Charlottesville, and nobody wanted to take our case. One guy told me, he said, no, why? It would commit we'd be committing murder, suicide taking your case, basically. So
yeah,
Yeah, you know what,
Tamara, we're about out of time. Before we go, before we're totally out of time, how can people send your son letters? How can they contribute money, et cetera? Make it real quick. We're almost out of time.
You can look on line and go to Jacob Goodwin and Virginia, the prison system, and it'll show you exactly where he's in Augusta. So, and also y'all can go to yearofjubilee.com/Jacob, and he'll pop up and you can find a lot of information, see a lot of stuff there from Year of Jubilee.
And people, if you didn't get that, you can send me an email, eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and I'll get you all that information. I know Rudy Davis, who runs the Year of Jubilee. We'll get that information to Miss Tamara, in final closing, how is Jacob holding up right now? He's still doing okay?
Yes, he's really good. They're on lockdown. There was a fight, so they've got them all locked down at the moment. But y'all don't understand, the way we talk to him is through you guys. Y'all's donations, that's the only way we talk to him, and he gets by. Y'all can always send, if you can't find him on there, you can always email me. You can get it through Eddie, or you can send me letters to my house or donations to my house. Jacob has an account, and I put it in his account, and that's how he does. And through all you guys, that's how we deal with it. Sir?
How do they make the check out? Who do they make the checks out to? Or they can send the check to Blood River Radio, but and our address is on our website, but who do they make the check out to?
They can make it out to me or Jacob. I deposit it into his account anyway. I'm on his account, and I do that. So it's either way.
Give them your full name, the full name on your as your bank account reads.
Tamara, Tamera, Goodwin, Goodwin.
Okay. Go ahead, Tara.
Yes, our address and everything's out there. If you just put my name in there, it pops up. Look, they slander us. I got followed again the other day. First time in a month I got followed the other day. And then I had to stop and get his license plate. And then he decided we're going to play this game. So I followed him for a minute, you know. So they're still watching us.
Tamara,
you know, they wanted to behead me. They wanted to behead me and burn my house down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
If I may ask, who's they? Who are these they that
Antifa,
are following you around?
It's Antifa.
Really?
That's yeah. And
in
the
Cabot,
reason,
Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, Cabot.
Oh, it's worse than that. I'll tell you about something in Arkansas when we come back. You'll be shocked. Thank you so much, Ms. Tamara. Thank you very much. Get in touch with us for any new updates with your son and the other political prisoners. Thank you so much. People, hold on. We're transitioning to the second hour. We're going to pick up